96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The privacy scandal involving Facebook is growing, and just today, the social media giant announced changes to its privacy settings to make you feel safer. But is it too little, too late? Is it time to disconnect, or are we too plugged in to let go? Well, we're talking about that tonight. My guests are Takiya Young, social media and STEM expert, and also Robin Akinwale. She is WHUR's Director of Digital Content and Social Media Manager. Lines are open. I want to hear from you tonight about this privacy scandal. What are your thoughts about what's happening with Facebook and social media in general? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Robin, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And Takiya, thank you for coming in. I appreciate you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Takiya, I'm going to start with you. Give me a thumbnail sketch of the Facebook controversy. How did this come about? What happened?
Well, if it's a quick thumbnail, what happened is Facebook collects information, and people often use Facebook in third-party apps. And things like quizzes, games, people use those frequently. What happens is when you use those services through Facebook, basically you're giving the app permission to collect information that's already stored in Facebook. And that information has then been used by this third party application. The challenge was that information was purchased and used by Cambridge Analytica to actually conduct business using this personal information. So the big thing is people are very upset about the situation. The fact of the matter is that Facebook did not breach the information. The information was collected and people gave permission to Facebook. The challenge was when that information was then used by, a fourth party, Cambridge Analytica, who actually took that information and used it in a way that the users didn't know about. So really the issue is with the fourth party, not necessarily the third party or Facebook itself.
And suffice it to say, for those of you that are not familiar with Cambridge Analytica, you certainly will be hearing more about them as it relates to not only the Russia investigation, but politics in reference to the midterm elections, the company in and of itself had a co-founder, which was a whistleblower and has subsequently spoken to Congress about its connections to politics in the Trump administration. It is a big political mess.
Yes.
But even outside of that political piece, the privacy piece has forced the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, to speak publicly about this, which is a rare event in and of itself. What has he been saying?
So what he's been saying is a range of things. The biggest thing that I've been reading recently is that he doesn't know why they're calling for him to speak about it, because he doesn't necessarily believe that he's the best person to speak on this. I know that Facebook in January hired a new cybersecurity policy expert and leader. And really, in this case, he should be the one speaking about this. But they're saying a range of things, including we don't really know what the issue is, but also they've been ramping up on their policies. So I think the biggest thing that I've been reading and hearing about more than anything is that they're ramping up on their policy, making things more accessible to the user, making people more aware about the process, and getting people more informed about the permissions that they've already given to Facebook.
Robin, talk to me a little bit about what has been happening today and over the past, couple of days, because I think the reality is there's always been a question about privacy, but a lot of people have been feeling exposed.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I also feel the same way. We all receive that, notification that says, hey, you're giving, Facebook access to your personal information. Do we take the time to actually read all of the terms? No. So when we hear of something like this happening where a fourth party gains access, you know, we feel violated. We don't know what this information, what this data is going towards. And I know up and down my social media feed today, there were individuals saying, I'm deleting Messenger, I'm deleting Facebook. If you choose to do that, you would also have to get rid of all of your social media networks. So, you know, we really don't know what to do. I know there are a number of individuals who are now filing lawsuits against Facebook because of this breach or because of this information that, you know, is being used by a fourth party. I think we don't know what to do as technology continues to advance. You know, we're all vulnerable to things like this happening. So I don't know exactly what we should do, especially if we want to stay in, you know, up to date with all the technology, all the advancements.
And I think that's an interesting point as well. One could say that with every new form of technology, whether it's the telegraph, whether it's the television, whether it's the telephone, cell phones, smartphones, and now social media, there is going to be some kind of blowback or criticism. And I think that we are really in the throes of that. We're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as also how to keep yourself safe tonight. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are, of course, talking about Facebook privacy and you. How do you feel about this privacy scandal involving Facebook, which, of course, could very well be an issue for all social media? Let me go to the phone lines. Grace. Grace calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Grace. What's on your mind?
So what's on my mind is this. I think we're pretty much in a very alarmist mode at the moment. We are using all elements of social technology to communicate and to connect, whether we use a credit card machine. That data is being compiled, and that data or any data that is accessible online is being pretty much resourced. Whether it's resourced by Facebook or Google or Twitter or any other elements of social media, people are now able, when they're on vacations, to turn their lights off in their homes. So I think that the hysteria that's now being created is creating the idea that Facebook is the fault of, you know, data mining. Data mining is basically what's been around and what has created the whole internet engine so that people can track who's doing what. Now that it's become, you know, a tool where it's questioning how much influence it's creating, it's now being looked at more suspect and with more circumspect considerations.
So Grace, well, let me ask you, so you're thinking that this reaction is an overreaction?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your input. What do you think about that, Takiya? Is that true? Do you think that this is an overreaction?
I have mixed feelings about it. I do, to a certain extent, agree with the caller, Grace, is saying that some people are overreacting. I think the information that's being collected and shared, it's not brand new. Data mining has been happening. People are sharing information. Just even today, I was on a phone call and we were talking about job applications. When people submit their resumes to these job application sites, that information is mined so that we can get better analytics about employee rates, about which positions people qualify for. So the information has consistently been mined. The challenge is that people are now more aware about what's happening, but the communication about that information has always been there. So I do agree that to a certain extent, this idea of like delete everything, then we're going to have to take a step back to the telegraph, to writing letters, things of that nature, because we really have to take a step way back, because so many things are tech enabled at this point, and it's very much an interconnected experience. And as was mentioned earlier, there's so many Facebook companies, specifically in this case, that are related. So we have Instagram, we have Oculus, we have WhatsApp. All of these companies are Facebook companies. So when you share information with Facebook or you share information with any of those other companies, that information is being shared all along. So you would have to basically go down and delete a whole range of things. On the other side on the cybersecurity side of things, I do think that it is a big deal because we're looking at this goes beyond just personal experience, right? We're talking about political efforts. We're talking about cyber potentially warfare. We're talking about a range of things. At the same time, those same concerns exist, which is why the cybersecurity space exists, right? The cybersecurity space exists because we're looking at a way to manage the body of technologies and processes that manage software, that manage data, and make sure that we're not being attacked or damaged in any way. So cybersecurity is major.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Facebook, privacy, and you. How do you feel about this privacy scandal involving the social media giant Facebook? Lines are open if you have a comment or a question. Renee, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Renee. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just think that we've become a society that's dependent on getting confirmation from the outside world. People are addicted to likes, and people are addicted to how many views they can get for whatever reason, and everybody's reason is different. Some people are networking for business reasons, but most of the time we know it's socializing. We keep in touch with the family. That's okay, too. But with all that being said, people are not going to be concerned enough about the privacy or the invasion of their privacy to cut back on social media. I mean, you have your select few that may back off and cut off social media, but most people are not going to do it. It's an addiction now.
Okay, but hold, but Renee, let me suggest this. Because as we said earlier, and Robin, you can certainly give your opinion about this as well. You know, at some point, Renee, I know when I was growing up, we didn't have social media, but we did have something called the telephone. And I know that my mother used to yell at me from upstairs saying, get off the phone. Okay. What's the difference between that technology and social media when, you know, I could have been talking to a girl at school or my grandparents? It's the same thing.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I was raised by my grandmother, so I'm old school. I feel you. The only thing I'm stating is the fact. I just feel that we are a society at this point that we're just dependent on the confirmation of others. People are not going to back up off of social media. I hear what you're saying, and I can keep in touch with the few friends I have because my grandmother told me you only get two or three real friends in a lifetime anyway.
Okay.
So I don't know why we need so many likes and views. These not your real friends. You can live without them, and you're doing it anyway.
Well, hold on. Renee, thank you. Go ahead, Robin, real quick before I go to the break. Your thoughts about what Renee is suggesting.
I totally agree with Renee. I do. And I also, you know, believe that we probably really will not, like, this will not reduce our social media activity. Why? You know, we use it in our daily lives. This is what I do for a living. Businesses use it to promote their businesses. People love the access of information. It's immediate. It's instant. You can send out a statement right away. You can get people to engage with you. So there are a lot of benefits. They say technology, there's a gift and a curse. We really have to balance that. Honestly, I think that, you know, most people will be upset or irritated with this, you know, all this information being passed around without our knowledge. However, at the end of the day, you know, we're still going to have individuals using social media. You know, it'll cause a little bit of an uproar for a while, and then we'll move on to the next issue.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Facebook, privacy, and you. What are your feelings about this privacy scandal involving the social media giant? If you have a question, if you have a comment, we are still taking your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about security and what you need to do if you are currently on Facebook to be safer. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Once again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about Facebook privacy and you on social media. What are your feelings about the Facebook privacy scandal? Is it giving you pause? Are you ready to unfriend Facebook, or is it just not that big of a deal for you? My guests are Takiya Young. She is a social media and STEM expert. Also, Robin Akinwale. She is WHUR's Director of Digital Content and Social Media Manager. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Earlier, Takiya, you made a comment about data mining, and we were talking about online safety, privacy. One of the things that we've not discussed yet, and you suggested, yes, these things have been going on for quite some time, and it's all fine and fun and games until your ID is, your ID is stolen, when your financial identity, and somebody is using your credit cards. And so it can be said that in the Cambridge Analytica situation, we did not know that our identifications, our political feelings or persuasions were being used for political purposes. But when they start, as they say, messing with your money, then it becomes very serious.
100%. I do think that when something happens to a person, then they take it more seriously. And, you know, like you said, barring the political component of it, yes, the financial piece is very important because in this country, you often cannot come back from it. My identity was stolen long before I was even on Facebook. So I think that if people begin to attach this breach of data conversation and this, oh, my information is out there conversation, and they only attach it to something like Facebook, then they're actually missing the opportunity. We have to, in general, be mindful of our data everywhere. I mean, during the holiday season, they warn you about putting your purse down on the counter because somebody will come by and grab your information that way, electronically and digitally. So I think that people in general have to be mindful about their information. And yes, specifically the financial information, what you're putting out there, which apps you're using, how do you have your card? Where do you house your financial information in your home when people visit? So I think, yes, it sounds like fun and games and, you know, all political until somebody has your money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's very important to think about. But in general, I think one way to support a person around their concerns around the financial piece is to make sure that you're managing your financial documents in the right place, in the right way. Make sure that you're putting information in the right place. Make sure that you're not giving it out, leaving it somewhere. And when you're entering it, perhaps you don't want to have your computer remember your card number, right? That's something people can do to fix the situation. So I think we have more control. And then this is on the more personal side of it. I often tell people that if someone really wants my information, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. Some people sit and that's what they do all day, is try to get people's financial information. So to a certain extent, if you're going to use anything electronic or digital, it's available. Somebody, if they're really committed, if they're sitting down all day and that's their main job all day, they're going to get the information. So we have to be mindful to make sure that we don't make it as accessible to people.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to, is this Carmelita or Carmelita?
This is Carmelita.
That's what I thought. Go right ahead, Carmelita. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, turn your radio down. Go right ahead, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead. Carmel, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can. Tell you what, Carmelita, give us a call back, okay? We may have a bad line. Give us a call back, and when you do, just turn your radio down. Let's go to Ronnie. Ronnie calling from D.C. Hey, Ronnie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm just calling to just say that I deleted my Facebook account a couple of days ago.
Why?
But it wasn't anything to do really with this latest breach. just because I hadn't really been using my Facebook account for a while anyway. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to delete it and get it off my phone and everything, it was perfect. But my comment is, I'm really concerned about the breach in Equifax.
Ah,
okay. The OPM breach and a lot of these big companies that you put your information in that are getting hacked. And people are really suffering real consequences from that on the financial side.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, thank you so much for your phone call. And Robin, I think Ronnie makes a really interesting point. Obviously, Facebook is the big news recently, but he makes the point of the Equifax breach. And then there was, I believe it was last year, it was the Target breach twice within 12 months. And the reality is that when people are connected with social media, whether it's Facebook or anyone else, a lot of times they are connected to other things that they need. Talk to me about that.
That's correct. I personally have my credit information still frozen because of that breach from last year. With the convenience of, purchasing something and pressing one button on your phone, on your mobile device, where you don't have to enter all of your credit card information or anything like that. A lot of people do that for the convenience factor. But then now that we're finding out this information, this data is being collected, it's scary. It's definitely scary. But once again, like I said, there are a ton of ways that people are able to access your information, your personal information. So we just have to be, vigilant about that. But, I'm pretty sure much won't change on our end. We still will continue to make purchases online because it's convenient. We'll, subscribe to different databases and we'll have that personal information there. We just need to be diligent and we need to read the fine print. Many times we just hit okay or accept or agree, but we really need to read that fine print.
Well, here's the problem with that fine print. If you print the fine print, we are not talking about a page or two. We're talking about dozens of pages. Is the fact that there are dozens of pages of privacy agreements for almost every app that we use just taking advantage of our busy or impatient lifestyles?
You know what? Robin said it clearly. It's convenience. People like the convenience. So yes, if someone, those pages and pages, one has to read those bits of information. My mother, when I was very, very young, taught me to always read my documents. This day and age, do I read everything? No, but I can assume with some things what they're requesting. And the society is very litigious, right? So a lot of what's written in terms of that legalese is really to protect the company and less about the consumer, which I think could be a good thing in some cases, but in many, many cases, it's not good for the consumer, right? Because it's really heavy on protecting the business so that the consumer will not come back after the business or sue the business. So I think that the information that exists out there, the legalese, is important. If you are very concerned, then you have to take an extra 20 minutes to either A, print it out, or B, read it when they send you those terms and conditions. Then you have to do that. You have to decide, really, it's more so about convenience at this point because everything is so tech enabled and it goes beyond, it's not a check mark. It's not a yes or no or A or B. There's, well, if this happens, what about this? If this happens. So there's so many different interwoven scenarios as a part of terms and conditions as it relates to technology. I think that people will have to begin to read those documents more, or we eventually have to get to a place where we simplify the process. But I think that's what a lot of the apps are there for, right? When you open up an app or you download an app and they have that list of permissions that are like five or six permissions, the whole point of that is to avoid what we're talking about now, which is the fact that you have to spend 30 minutes to read all the details. They're asking you a question. Is it okay to share X, Y, and Z? Is it okay to share your location? Is it okay to reach your contacts? Is it okay to look at your pictures? people are saying yes or no. So they are reading the terms and conditions. They're reading the abbreviated version. Now, the question is, do people want to read the longer terms and conditions? Probably not. As was mentioned by Robin, as well as the caller, Ronnie, Grace, it's convenience, right? People don't want to step away from that convenience. They're too ingrained in the convenience right now to want to do it. But there will be some sticklers. There will be people who will take the time to do it, and they'll do that. But the average consumer is not going to read all those terms and conditions.
Let's talk a little bit about privacy in the wake of this Facebook situation. So what happened today? Because we're now seeing that so many people are hovering over their phones, trying to change their privacy settings and do some of the other things. So what has happened today, and what should people do to protect their privacy as it relates to Facebook?
Well, from my perspective, the first thing is to, one simple thing that people can do is, of course, download their information, right? People are wanting to know, what are they collecting? So get very clear about what's being collected, right? So the first thing is, they're collecting things you do, information that you provide, anything you post. They're collecting your networks, your connections. They're collecting information about in-app transactions. They're collecting information about payments, locations. So all of those things, they're collecting that information because you signed up for the service, right? So know that, but then also change your security settings and decide which things they have access to, which things they don't have access to. One simple thing is to go into where it says settings, right on the left-hand side of the bottom. It says apps. Click on that. You will find apps that you've used from whenever you first started using Facebook that will be there. I just recently got on Facebook about 7 years ago. I haven't been on Facebook that long. Prior to that, I was kind of anti it, honestly. So from the past 7 years of apps, you'll find 7 years of permissions that you've given without even knowing, kind of subconsciously, really, without and blindly. So I think turning off some of those apps will be helpful, or customizing your settings. So for most of my apps, I customize the access of information. So you'll see custom next to it. But for the average consumer, and I see this with my clients often when I'm checking their information, it will say open, which means Facebook and that app has open access to anything that you post online, all your contacts, all your information. So you as the consumer can empower yourself and do that. And then the final thing that I would suggest as well, well, not the final thing, the last thing I'll suggest is that if you're browsing and you're concerned about it, then browse in an incognito window. Browse in a window that you can find. If you're in Chrome, you can open up what's all called incognito, and you can look that up online in your browser. You can Google it and find that information, but it's an incognito window, which doesn't track the information. It doesn't track where you've gone. And that way Facebook has less access to your external transactions and movements online. And then Mozilla recently released something called the container that allows you to do the same thing if you're using Firefox. So Firefox container, which allows you to browse without your information being tracked. So those are simple things that one can do to prevent, well, maybe not prevent the information from being collected, but to kind of squelch some of the concern and the alarm that people have.
Robin, talk to me a little bit about those who are just doing simple browsing. I'll give you an example. Okay, so if I decide that I want to buy more cufflinks, and I'm browsing for cufflinks, and then for the next week or so, mm-hmm. I'm looking for something and cufflinks keep popping up. Why is that happening?
Your data is being collected, your search history, what it is that you're shopping for. All of a sudden, you will begin to see that in your feed. And it's funny, I just had a daughter a year ago, and I was shopping for items for her Easter basket. I waited until the last minute. So I was looking for Easter basket stuffers. I was on, various sites. I was on Target. I was on Walmart, on those apps. Right after I jumped off of that and I placed the order, I scroll down on Facebook and I see these Amazon ads promoting exactly what I was looking for in my Walmart app and my Target app. So it was instant. It's creepy, but this algorithm that they come up with, they're dead on with this. But it's creepy. It really is.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how to prevent that from happening. Because like Robin said, it's creepy. It really is. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Facebook, privacy, and you. What do you think about it? We'll be back in just a moment. Drama on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about Facebook, privacy, and you on social media. Is it time for you to unfriend Facebook? Or are you okay with some of the privacy issues that have popped up, if I may, over the past several weeks now? Of course, my guests are Takiya Young, social media and STEM expert, and Robin Akinwale. She is WHUR's Director of Digital Content and Social Media Manager. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Robin, we heard from Ronnie earlier, and he said, well, he deleted his Facebook only because he wasn't using it. And there are certainly some people that are not. But do you think it is realistic for people to say, I'm just going to cut out Facebook, for example, when it is so ingrained, when there are billions and billions and billions of people around the world that are users of it, and it is ubiquitous, it's connected to everything else?
I think, you know, it's every individual's prerogative whether they decide to delete the app or not. I know personally, because this is what I do for a living, I don't have that option. I do know a number of individuals that have pages that are just basically generic. They have a stock image on there, or, you know, something like that, and they rarely post something. They just use it to scroll, through Facebook and see what everyone else is posting. They don't really comment much. You can set up a page like that if you want to stay in the know. If you want to see what's going on, you can definitely do that. Unfortunately, I don't have that option. But it's everyone's prerogative, whatever they choose to do, whatever they feel is best for them. I have an aunt, you know, she does not like social media. She prefers to stay out of that, that realm. And, you know, she doesn't even like for a picture to be posted at family events, you know, and we post pictures on Facebook. She doesn't like that. She'll say, do not put my picture on Facebook. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Takiya, as a business person who is about the business of social media, the folks, I don't think that Facebook is going to go away, even though it's taking a PR hit right now. But what would that do to a business such as yours if a Facebook had to all of a sudden go away?
Well, it will be tough, because I think more than anything, I know the average consumer looks at Facebook as like this social network. More than anything, is Facebook is a place for business and ad development. That's what it's for. The main priority there, that's how they make their money. So as a business owner, what will be tough for me is that my Facebook page would not exist. I mean, and that's not a problem so much, but in order to run the ads in the ad network that I like to use and the ad account, you need to have a business page. So then I wouldn't be able to target customers. I wouldn't be able to have Facebook pixels on my page, which means that when people come to my website and they try to click on something or they want more information about me, I wouldn't be able to find them online. As Robin was mentioning earlier, that the picture, you know, the image or the site you were on tracks you. Yeah, that's called the Facebook pixel. And as a business owner, I use that. So some people will say, oh, I was on your website and it followed me to Facebook. And I said, great, good. That's what I'm paying it for. That's why I'm using it. That's why I signed up for it. So for me as a business owner, it would limit my options. That said, there are other options out there as well. I mean, Google AdWords exists. There are other ways to reach consumers outside of Facebook. There's your own a mailing list, your CRM. There are other ways to reach people. However, it would change not only how I interact with my consumers, but it would change how I interact with other business owners. It would change how I find out about some information, because sometimes I find out about things through Facebook because Facebook's data is so good. I mean, that's the main reason why I got on Facebook 7 or 8 years ago was for business reasons. Now I use it personally, but the main reason I got on was for business reasons. The main reason why I still have it is exclusively for business. I personally can get off Facebook tomorrow if someone said it. It wouldn't be a big deal. Anything I posted on Facebook, I have already documented for myself. There's nothing I'm posting on there that I don't already have documented elsewhere. So my pictures wouldn't be gone or anything like that. I have all that information already in the cloud elsewhere. So I have access to the information, but the business side of it, that would probably hurt a little bit, but I would survive because I have access to other tools. Everyone's not in that position. So I happen to have experience in the social media space because I've been involved in social media since 2000. I first started blogging with LiveJournal before WordPress and for many of these platforms, even before Black Planet, right? Right. Before Black Planet.
Now you're telling your age.
Right. But, exactly. So I've been in social media space.
Right. And all of that.
Yeah, Friendster, all of that. Before right. all of that.
You know, I will say that back in, I've been on Facebook since 2008, but I didn't realize that until I, like so many people today, went into Facebook and downloaded everything. And the reason I was reticent to go into it, but the reason that I was pressed to go into it was because at the time I was writing articles for the Baltimore Sun, and the editor gave me an assignment, and she said, I want you to profile this guy. And I said, okay, I need his phone number so I can talk to him. And he was severely handicapped. And she said, the only way that he communicates is, unless you're face-to-face, on Facebook. And you can find out a lot about him on Facebook. And I said, well, I'm not on Facebook. She said, join Facebook. And I was pressed into that. And obviously this entire world and Facebook has obviously changed since then. We're talking 10 years. But as Robin discussed earlier, for those of us that are in media and more specifically in the news business, Facebook is not just social media. It is a tool. That is how we reach people. There are times when we may not necessarily reach someone by phone. Robin, I mean, the reality is that depending on the age or mm-hmm. the generation X or what have you, you may call them on the phone and they may not respond. But if you inbox them on Facebook,
yeah.
they may respond or text, obviously, right away. And so I think we are in a world now where the Facebooks and the other social media technology is a reality that we have to live with, Robin.
That is correct. Sometimes we even, like you mentioned, we'll run a contest or a promotion and it'll just be exclusive to social media. And that's the way that we reach out to the winners once we select the winner. And we may not have their email address yet or anything like that. We'll just send them a message right away and they have to respond within a certain amount of time. And then we gather that other information. This field of, technology is constantly evolving. It's very exciting. Like I said, it can also be the gift and the curse. It's an awesome tool to market businesses, and everything like that. So I really don't see it going away. I just see new, applications coming out, new technology. That's what I see.
Do you think, Takiya, that what is happening this week certainly is a cautionary tale, however, for social media going forward? Indeed, we are supposed to be hearing, for example, from Mark Zuckerberg in April. He is supposed to testify before several Capitol Hill committees, both in the House and the Senate. Is this a time when we all need to begin to pay attention?
Yes, I think if that's what this incident or this current climate is doing for people is letting them pay attention, then great. I think people should have been paying attention all along. And I think that if this is what it did, it provided people an opportunity to say, okay, I need to start paying attention before I sign up for that app. I need to start paying attention before I give someone my information. I need to, in this case, pay attention before I sign in using my Facebook login, right? I've never done that. like for this express reason. I've never actually used the Facebook login for anything unless it was absolutely required. But whenever they say sign up with your email address, I create a new login for every single site. I don't use the third party apps. But I think that something that's really important is that for a long period of time, this kind of data portability is something that was fought for the consumers. Consumers wanted this. They wanted the ability to be able to log in easily without having to create a whole bunch of new accounts. So they have to be mindful if they're fighting for that to go away. The problem here is not necessarily and I don't want to take the blame away from Facebook, but it's not really their issue. What the issue is that the data at the end from the fourth party was used without the user's consent. And it was used incorrectly. And that's the piece we have to look at. We cannot say technology is bad, right? This is the age that we grew up in. I mean, remember, there's a video out there that's popular, and I forgot who was put out by, but it showed a baby playing with a magazine, and the baby was playing with a magazine. And remember, a baby that's born in 2018, or let's say 2017, to them, a magazine is a broken iPad. It's not a magazine. It's a different thing. They don't know how it works. They're looking at things through a different lens. Same thing as when Facebook was created. It was created at a time when only young college students were involved. Right now, the age range has changed for Facebook. So we have to begin to think about how we use it. Some people get their parents and grandparents on there, and they don't understand how it works. So they're putting all their business out on the Facebook streets, right?
Yeah.
Cyber streets, and their children have to say, "Mom, do you know?" Because they don't know. So we have to begin to understand and to educate ourselves about technology, which is why I'm a big advocate for everyone understanding more about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If we understood more about how these things worked, then we would be able to make more informed decisions.
I think that's a good way to end this conversation. I want to thank Takiyah Young and Robin Akinwale for joining us in this conversation. And certainly, we'll be putting some links up to help you with your privacy and your security. It'll all be posted on WHUR.com later on this evening. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Takiyah and Robin. I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, March 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.